Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Urbis Partners. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nichol.
And today's show, we're talking about buyer's markets versus seller's markets. Now, lots of property investors, and I think particularly those new to investing, are asking, you know, is now the right time to invest? Is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? And the thing is, I always say, if you're buying for the long term, it's never a bad time, I guess, to invest in property. It's all about whether the bank is going to give you the money or not. But what we do know is that the property market is cyclical, and that is going to impact the price that you buy for and the price that you sell for, because property prices go up and down. Now, we talked a lot about the property clock last week, but that leads to a really interesting discussion about comparing buyer's markets versus seller's markets and what we think at each time. Now, Andrew, how would you define what a buyer's market is?
So simply, I'd just say there is less buyer demand than there is seller supply. So think about it this way. The market will favour the buyer over the seller because the buyer has the greatest power. Now, buyers have an advantage in this market when they're negotiating price. And it happens when there's an increase in supply in the market, there's less demand in the market, or maybe a combination of the both. And Tony Alexander said that a buyer's market, to him, he would expect to see prices flat to falling, agents spending more time working on vendor expectations, and there being plenty of listings.
When you say work your vendor expectations, what do you mean?
So you go to a vendor and say, look, I think this property is more realistically in the 600,000s rather than the 700,000s that you're kind of expecting or wanting.
Yeah, it's quite funny. I speak to one of our colleagues who are selling their properties at the moment, and I said, oh, how's that going? And they said, oh, don't know what the real estate agents do. All they do is open up the house on a Saturday, get some feedback, and tell us, oh, you know,
the market says it's here.
Oh, the feedback says that it's actually mid 1.5 mil rather than 1.6.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, if I wanted the feedback, I would have done it myself. So that's his expectations. Oh, now I've just realised he listens to the show, but it sounds like the real estate agent needs to do more work on expectations.
Yeah.
And there's also a bit of a difference in terms of the FOMO in a buyer's market, right? What do we tend to see, Andrew?
Yeah, so Tony Alexander's real estate survey says that agents are reporting low FOMO, fear of missing out. So it means that sellers are more motivated to do deals. Buyers are happy just to walk away. They're not panicked about missing out on this deal because they're thinking there'll be the next one around the corner.
So where are we at the property clock?
We're at the bottom of the property clock.
Yeah, whereas a seller's market's kind of the opposite. You know, it's the top of the property clock. There's fewer listings. There's low supply. There's a lot of demand out there. And so in that case, the seller's got the upper hand in terms of negotiating price. They might have more multi-offer situations where they've got a couple of buyers who want the property, so they can say, well, write down here your best offer and then I'll just take the highest price. Those kinds of things. Now, the question is, well, are we more in a buyer's market or a seller's market? And if you just think about it yourself now, what do you think? Are we in a buyer's market or a seller's market in your specific area? Because it is going to be different depending on where you live in the country. Now, of course, here at Opus Partners, we help people buy investment properties. So it's always in our best interest to tell you that now is a good time to buy. So I went out and talked to a couple of other economists for their view. And Tony said, you know, that he thinks we're definitely in a buyer's market now. And a couple of reasons for that. Firstly, interest rates and inflation, you know, they have a bit of an influence on it. But there are some other factors other than just high interest rates that tell us whether it's a buyer's or a seller's market. So we started to see a bit of an upswing in property prices and property interest kind of at the end of 2023, kind of the last 6 months of 2023. That was a lot of first home buyers. And there were a lot of sellers who were thinking, I want to sell my property, I want to move on. But those people were waiting in the wings. They've now stepped forward. And so we've seen this increase in listings. So yeah, the property market started to recover. Then we had a lot of people come forward wanting to sell their properties. That's pushed it more into that buyer's market. On top of that, we've got not the best outlook for the local economy, for the New Zealand economy. And so we've got a lot of people out there worried about their jobs. Whether or not, you know, your job might be safe, but the fact that you read a lot about people losing their jobs, that makes you a bit more nervous when it comes to
finding a tenant, maybe,
or making any sort of large purchasing decision. If you think, well, I don't want to take out a large mortgage when interest rates are high, when I might lose my job, even though the majority of people will not lose their jobs, right? And the last thing that's quite interesting is 57% of real estate agents are saying that actually vendors, sellers, are more motivated to get a transaction over the line than home buyers. So that kind of tells you, yeah, we are in a buyer's market. Also talked to Cameron Bagri. He's another economist, used to be the head economist at ANZ. You know, he's kind of saying, well, the market's bottomed out, certainly. You know, house prices no longer falling, but we're not seeing a massive upward swing. And so he's saying, yeah, look, we're in the early recovery phase, but I would expect to see it be a little bit more of a buyer's market. It's going to take longer to sell property. So that kind of tells you who's got the upper hand. But what's interesting, Andrew, is even though we're pretty solidly in a buyer's market, people still get really nervous when buying properties.
Yeah, it's quite funny to me because you get into this buyer's market where there's the opportunity to get a good deal, and most of the buyers are too scared to take action. When you think about like a seller's market, when it's really easy for a seller to get a good deal and there's lots of buyers out there, it's the opposite. You know, your buyers are really active when it's a seller's market, but when it comes to a buyer's market, we get a little less confident and we tend to sit on our hands a little bit longer. And the problem with that is that if people are scared, and often for good reasons, right now it's those high interest rates and the increasing unemployment, and then they sit on their hands and they miss out on the benefits of that buyer's market.
So talk to me about what makes buyers nervous.
Well, I think the worsening outlook for the labour market, the job security, is a big thing, because if you are topping up a rental property or paying a mortgage or whatever it is, it puts an increase in your cash flow risk.
What do you mean by that?
Well, right now there's no certainty about when interest rates are going to come down. And so there's a debate whether or not they're going to fall and how far they're going to come down by. That plus the increase in costs around rates and insurance, it means that you have to get a higher yield for your property to pay for itself. Now, if I am topping up my rental property as a result of those higher costs and I lose my job, well, how the hell am I going to do this? I'm going to miss out. And if I can't find a tenant, now I'm in real trouble and I'm going to fall into default on my mortgage. And if you think about when the perfect time to buy is, there isn't one. That's the truth. There's always factors working for you and factors working against you. Right now, the benefit of buying now is you get a good price. You can negotiate really well on the price. The downside is high interest rates and job uncertainty.
And so if you're thinking about the average investor, how would you recommend that buyers make the most out of the current market?
I think that the best way to do it is just to kind of maybe put some protection mechanisms in place for yourself. So if I were buying a rental property today and I was making a top up of $300 a week, I'd make sure that I had a bit of a fallback position. I'd make sure I had a revolving credit facility in place. I'd make sure I was buying something where there was high tenant demand. I'd be trying to mitigate as many of those risks as possible.
Yeah, the other big one that a lot of people don't think about is income protection insurance.
Yeah.
You know, because if you say, like, the biggest risk that people have to their property investment plan, to their wealth plan, is losing their income. Because you might buy two or three investment properties. You might have your own home and you're kind of set up. You've got a lot of assets, but you've only got those assets while you can service the debt. And if you find that, you know, you do unfortunately lose your job, then that puts the entire plan at risk, because then you might have to sell a property early. Maybe you sell it at the wrong time of the market and therefore you don't walk away with a profit, or you walk away and you've lost your deposit. And maybe you're even going backwards in really bad circumstances. And so I encourage a lot of people to think about, like, actually your biggest asset is not just your home. It's not just your investment properties. It's actually your ability to earn an income. And so things like trauma insurance. So if unfortunately you get a really bad disease or illness, unfortunately, that does happen. You know, do you have a payout from the insurance company so that you don't have to sell those investment properties, so that you don't have to sell your own home? Because that's probably one of the biggest risks that we often don't talk about. I sometimes say to investors, you know, let's say you lost your income. And let's all just think about this right now. You lose your job tomorrow, you don't have any income. How long before you're sleeping in your car? It's probably pretty quick, like 8 weeks for some people. You know, some people will have some savings and maybe it might be a bit longer than that, but it'll probably frighten you about how quickly your bank balance goes to zero. Like, as soon as you don't have an income, it's going to be very difficult to go get money from a bank. So you've kind of got to sort yourself out for the rainy day before that rainy day comes. You've got to buy your umbrella before it starts to rain, otherwise you get wet. So that's probably the other thing that people can do, because you can't get income protection insurance once you've lost your job.
And just going back to, you know, the market never being perfect, there never being the perfect time to buy. You think about, at least fast forward to when interest rates go down. Okay, well, then in the future, the benefit will be that interest rates are lower, and the negative will be that prices will be higher when you go and buy a property, and there's probably less room for negotiation.
But I think the main thing just to take away from this discussion is when we're in a buyer's market, we tend to get really nervous. When we're in a seller's market, everyone piles in because you see property prices go up and you feel really confident. But the downside to that is you pay a higher price. You don't know when house prices are going to stop going up. And so one way to get over that mental hurdle of should I invest or should I not, or maybe you're trying to convince your partner that, hey, we really need to get into the market right now. They're like, why the hell would we do it when interest rates are high, property prices down, lots of things are going very poorly? You know, just that idea of, well, who's got the upper hand right now, buyers or sellers? Now is actually not the right time to be selling a property, right? Like, unless you have to, you know, unless there's some good reason to doing it, I myself would not be selling a property right now because it's a buyer's market. I don't want to be selling in a buyer's market. I want to be selling in a seller's market. Similarly, I want to be buying in a buyer's market. I don't want to really be buying in a seller's market. So just a really good way of helping you get over that mental hurdle when you are thinking about, well, what should I do next in my property investment journey? Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And today, I want you to come to our upcoming webinar. It's on Tuesday, the 14th of May, 7 p.m. We're talking about how you can build a $100,000 passive income plan in just 52 minutes. I think this is going to be the best webinar we've done in a very, very long time. And it's going to help you really rethink how you view how much wealth you have and how much you can build over the next 15, 20, 25 years. If you want to come along to that, links down in the show notes, tap or swipe over the cover art, links are there, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Seb McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back here tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you the most out of New Zealand property market. Until next time.